You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Yes, a very good evening to everybody and welcome to the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup here on Proper Sport Radio alongside Jim McGrath. A really great show lined up for you this week. We're going to be joined on the phone by Donald McCain, Brian Hughes and Carl Burke, and we're also going to be looking ahead to the weekend's action at Sandown for the final jump season, jumps fixture of the season, should I say. Also looking ahead to Ripon as well. They've got a stepping stone race towards the Chester Cup, plus look ahead to the Lister race at Leicester as well. Jim McGrath gave us a winning tip last week. Hopefully that good run can continue here this evening. This is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath.
Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath on Proper Sport.
Yes, a very good evening to everybody tuning in right now. This is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. Now, for the past fortnight, we have been on location. 2 weeks ago, we was very lucky to be at Aintree for the Grand National Festival. And then 7 days ago, we was at HQ. We was at Newmarket for the Craven meeting. We was live from Newmarket. Absolutely glorious sunshine it was on that occasion as well. So it was very, very hot on that day. Fortunately, in the lovely air-conditioned studio here this evening, which is great. So we're keeping nice and cool, aren't we, Jim?
Well, I've only just got here, Bob. The traffic's been horrendous, so I wouldn't say I was cool, but the studio's fine. It was lovely to be out in the sun last week, but given the weather today, I'm glad we're in here.
Yeah, certainly agree with you indeed, and in a lovely, nice studio, keeping out of the rain. Now, I suppose before we get in contact with a few of our guests, Jim, it's the final fixture of the jump season on Saturday, and it's been a really good jump season in general.
Oh, there's been lots to enthuse over, not least at the Punchestown Festival, which is still going on as we speak. And as you know, I walked in here, you said, oh, Faheen's just won, isn't that brilliant? I mean, the stories keep coming. The story at Sandown, what's that going to be? Well, Richard Johnson will be crowned champion jockey. And at least the season is signing off with, great that Nicky Henderson and the owners are letting Altior run, because he really will be the star of the show there. And let's hope he can strut his stuff in the way that we know he can.
Unfortunately, we didn't get a Northern winner at this year's Cheltenham Festival again, nor did we get one at Aintree either. But if we look back through the jump season, you know, we had definitely Red winning the Cotswolds Chase at Cheltenham, and of course it's Sam Spinner as well, who was very successful at Ascot in that Grade One.
Yeah, there have been highlights. It would have been hugely disappointing if there hadn't been some. But as we made the point last week when we were down at Newmarket, for some reason, and I can't put my finger on it, the big meetings, including in France and in Ireland, Northern trainers have got the ammo to hold their own, but at jumps racing, there are very few horses trained up here that are capable of so doing. So the likes of Waiting Patiently and Definitely Red and Sam Spinner were undoubtedly highlights.
Yeah, they certainly was indeed. And sticking with the Northern jump scene, after this very short break, we are going to be joined on the phone by Donald McCain. Don't go anywhere. We'll be speaking to Donald right after this.
Every Wednesday evening, 6 till 8 p.m, you can join Ollie Holmes and Jai Hitchcock for the 6 till 8 debate, discussing anything and everything in the world of rugby league and beyond. And sometimes they bring the breaking news that you need to know.
3-year-old boy goes missing at Central Western Australia campsite, right? He's found 5 kilometres away the following day. He says, I found a kangaroo and I tried to ride it home. I'm not kidding, look this up. James Skillen disappeared from a campsite on a private property in Razorback, north of Bathurst. A search was launched at 7 p.m. 100-acre property is found 5 kilometres away.
He tried to ride a kangaroo.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where he's trying to ride the kangaroo, but that came out wrong.
All the big stories discussed on the 6 till 8 debate every Wednesday, 6 till 8 on Proper Sport, on Facebook Live, on the podcast, and of course on the website at propersport.uk.
The greatest radio duo since, well, no one. Ollie and Jai on the 6 till 8 debate. You're listening to the Racing Roundup with Bobby Beavers and Jim McGrath.
Welcome back to the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup here alongside Jim McGrath. Now, as promised, we are now going to go straight to the line and be joined by trainer Donald McCain. Donald, a very good evening to you. How are you? Are you keeping well?
I'm in good form, Bobby. Thank you, yeah.
Right then, well, firstly, thank you very much for joining us here on the show. Been looking at a few of your stats today. You've had 98 wins from 534 runners, just over £800,000 in prize money, a fair few Saturday winners along the way as well. Describe to us how you felt your season's gone this year.
Oh, it's been very satisfying, Bobby. I don't get too wound up anymore, but we're surrounded by some good owners, and we're gathering up a team of nice young horses, you know. And I suppose I was getting a little bit itchy to get to 100, but if someone asked me at the start of the season if I could get 98, I'd be thrilled.
Well, yeah, we've got two more days to go left of the jump season. As we say, you're currently on 98. Do you think you could get your fifth century in the next couple of days?
I think I'm struggling. I've got six runners tomorrow, I think it is, or five runners tomorrow, sorry, and with bits and bobs of chances, but that's been the way it's been for the last couple of weeks. I had three runners entry weekend, and one ducked out at Sedgefield when it was clear, one fell at the second last at Newcastle when it was going clear, and DSI nearly got brought down upsides in front at the last at Aintree, and I knew then I was struggling.
Don, you seem, I bumped into you a couple of times this season, and you did say you don't get wound up anymore, just a moment or two to Bobby, because there was a spell. I mean, you had an absolutely phenomenal run. I mean, this season, let's make the point straight away, you are the leading Northern based trainer anyway, with 10th in the table overall, so as you say, a very satisfactory season. But you said a couple of seasons ago you were at the stage where it really got to you that you weren't matching the standard you'd sort of set 2 years before that.
I think, Jim, it was always going to be very difficult for me to keep the numbers up I had, because things were going well and people bought horses and gathered up horses, but when those horses had won their novices and were badly handicapped, they weren't the people to go and replace them immediately, and, you know, when they've won the three or four, get rid of them and get some more and that sort of stuff. So then you start attracting a different type of owner, maybe, and I possibly haven't got the mentality to get to the very top, because I get a bit fond of my horses and I don't want to lose them, and we had a bad season when there was sick horses. I wasn't the only yard in the country, but it was, seemed there was a lot of people looking at what happened to me, you know.
But I mean, the overall thing I'm trying to say is you do seem to have enjoyed your work again this time around. Because you're a joke. I mean, I'm not saying you're not competitive. You were very competitive. But I bumped into you at Newbury, and you had a big smile on your face. You had nice horses running down there, and, it, you know, life seemed good again.
I think it's a confidence thing. I think I was never the most confident person in the world. I was delighted to be in the position I was in. I think when I sat down with all the owners that stayed with me and rang them and so on, I realised what a good bunch of people I trained for, and I never felt under the same pressure again. So the decisions I make now are done for the right reasons at the right time, and horses are trained for the long term, Jim, really.
Well, more power to your elbow.
And Donald, it's not long now before one of your favourite flat meetings, the Chester Cup meeting, which you've won twice in the past. You've got three entered for it this year's Chester Cup. Any of those likely to run?
I think we might be aiming at the consolation race, Bobby, by all accounts. Good traditional go there for the consolation race. The owners are very keen. He ran, he should have won over hurdles the other day. He won a jumper's bumper quite impressively, actually, a few weeks back, and he seems a happier horse this year, so he'll probably head there. Not so sure about the others.
Just because I have a quick word on venue that I've seen enter, because he's not been seen since winning at Musselburgh back in November 2016, was it?
Yes.
Is everything okay with him?
He got a leg that day. He's been off since. He actually galloped the other day at Bangor and schooled this morning. So whether he's quite sharp enough to go straight to Chester or not, I wouldn't be 100% sure. I think there's a handicap on the flat Swinton day at Haydock that might be more suitable to get him started again.
And your daughters have well, they've taken up a career racing. They're doing great in the saddle, particularly Abby as well, Donald, who was victorious this week at Perth.
Yeah, no, they're doing grand. Especially on the flat, they've been lucky to start getting rides for some good trainers. Ella, the younger one, she's ridden for Richard Fye and Brian Ellison and so on, and Abby's doing all right as well. It's great fun, thoroughly enjoying it. They're both young, they're only 18 and 16, and hopefully they can get quite a name for themselves riding in all these ladies' races on the flat, you know.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, we do wish your daughters all the success in the world, and of course to yourself as well, Donald. Great to see you firing back, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Donald McCain there joining us here on the show. Very interesting, Jim, of course, what he had to say there. But it's good to see that this year, he's had a good season, he's enjoying it.
Oh no, it's been a very, very solid season for Don. When you've got a strike rate, a percentage of 18% of your horses are winning, and you've got a lot of horses to run, that's top class stats. And he just needs a couple of really good ones to take him, you know, be competing for the very big prizes. Let's hope it happens.
And he's on 98 wins, as we've already mentioned. He mentioned it as well, just two away from his fifth century. Unfortunately, though, it sounded like he didn't think he could do it this year.
Well, he's possibly, as he said himself, from the experience he's had in life. Don't forget, Don's been trained 16, 17 years in his own right now. He started off with two and three winners a season. What he's achieved is phenomenal. Mm. And how he improved, you know, the quality of the gallops and the horses and everything. And then to bounce back in the way that he has, he's probably got more perspective on life now.
Yeah, very much agree with your comments there. Right then, from one of the top Northern trainers in Donald McCain, don't go anywhere, because very shortly we're going to be joined by the top Northern jockey, Brian Hughes. We'll be talking to him very, very shortly.
The Big Sports Breakfast on Proper Sport.
Join me, Darren Harper and Sam Bridges every weekday morning right here on Proper Sport for the Big Sports Breakfast with some of the biggest names in sport, biggest sporting headlines and big tunes too. It's the only way to start your day on app, online, on Proper Sport. It's the Big Sports Breakfast.
Sport, sport and more sport. It's the Big Sports Breakfast on Proper Sport. This is Proper Sport.
A brand new sports station for the digital age. You can listen to us in a few different ways. Via our website, www.propersport.uk. Download the Proper Sport app from either Google Play or the Apple App Store. Or you can listen to us via the TuneIn app. And if you've invested in an Amazon Alexa or Google Home, stream Proper Sport now.
Live, online, via the apps and on demand, this is Proper Sport. Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup with Jim McGrath.
Welcome back to the Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. If you've just tuned in, we have been talking to Donald McCain. We've just had a great chat with Donald McCain. And now we're going to go straight back to the phone. And delighted now to be joined by Brian Hughes. Brian, a very good evening to you. How are you? Are you keeping well?
Hiya, Bobby. Yeah, good, thanks.
Yourself? Yeah, very well, thank you. Brian, great to get you here on the show. Now, for people listening now, they may be like, they've heard of you, you've done very well in the north of England, currently sitting second behind Richard Johnson in the jockey's title. But just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background in horse racing. Where did it all start?
I suppose it started when I was 15, used to ride up with James Lamb, local trainer at home, and then went to the apprentice school and went to apprentice to Kevin Prendergast after that, and then obviously came out to England in 2005 because it got a bit too heavy for the flat. But yeah, it sort of started probably in the apprentice school, I suppose.
And we mentioned you're currently sitting second behind Richard Johnson on 141 winners. I suppose with how successful you've been in the north of England, are you at a stage now where you really, you know, really want to push for that title? Do you think you could do it and actually be champion jockey one day?
Listen, Bobby, I'm doing as well as I can do, and I'm 30 winners behind Richard Johnson, you know. I don't know. I mean, obviously everyone wants to be champion jockey, and of course I'd love to be one day, but I'm doing as well as I can, and I'm still a long way away from it, so, you know, it is what it is, I suppose.
Bobby, Jim McGrath, how are you?
Hi, Jim.
Nice to speak to you. When you think of a little bit like Don McCain, who we were talking to a few minutes ago, Brian, you know, you were very modest about how you got to where you are. I mean, you only had a sort of minute to summarise it. But, I mean, you came over here, you went to basically be understudy to Graham Lee at Howard Johnson's. Is that your first sort of post?
Well, yeah, sort of through Bobby O'Ryan and then the Bloodstock agent, I got a job for Howard Johnson, and then obviously Graham was stable jockey, and myself and Alan Dempsey, and that used to ride quite a bit of the second string for Howard, made quite a lot of novice hurdlers and handicap hurdlers at the time, so I got quite a lot of rides early doors.
But to actually see, you know, your stats early on, where you had a handful of winners, eventually you became champion conditional, you must have been immensely proud of that, and now to be somebody that's in demand all over the country. I mean, you seem to have a fantastic base where you are, riding north and south, but I suppose you must have had offers to go south, have you?
Well, I've had a few small offers to go south, you know, in the last couple of seasons, but I did quite well the first year I came over to Howard's, or the first 6 months, and then the next year went quite slowly, only had three winners, and I was sort of a bit disillusioned with it again, and I actually had a job with Nigel Swiston Davis, but then I started to get going a bit over here, and up north rather, and I decided to give that a go, and then I was champion conditional that year, and I mean, obviously, I ride for a few southern trainers when their normal jockeys aren't around, but there's been no big offer or anything like that.
Right.
And Brian, if we just look to this season in particular, and a certain waiting patiently, you know, he's giving you some great days out at the races this season.
Yeah, I mean, we've run him six times. I think he's won all six for us. But yeah, this year obviously he started out in Carlisle, he won the Colin Parker Memorial, he won that quite well, and then we were actually going to go to Cheltenham with him, but he just wasn't quite 100%, so then we took him to Kempton, and that was his first proper test, and he won that quite well, and then obviously the Ascot Chase was obviously the obvious race for him, and when you beat a horse like Cougard, I mean, Cougard, you know, he's been a brilliant horse, and he's won a lot of grade ones, and he's a genuine champion, really. So when you beat a good horse like him, you know you've got a nice type of horse, really.
And am I right saying that was your first grade one winner, is that right?
Yeah, it was my first grade one winner. I've been second in quite a few of them, but yeah, that was the first one.
Absolutely brilliant for you to win your grade one. You really do deserve it. Just look ahead to it to Saturday, just very quickly. You've got several rides. Tomorrow. Out of the seven rides tomorrow, which one should we look out for tomorrow, just before we quickly talk about Saturday?
Tomorrow, the filly in the first is a nice type of filly. She won well at Sedgefield. And after that, what else do I ride? Actually, I can't think of what I'm riding. She'd obviously have a nice chance. And there's a horse to Our Lucas. If he was second the other day there in a better race, he's obviously going to go up £9 in the future, so he's theoretically £9 well in. I'm hoping he can be competitive. I ride a couple for Stuart Crawford, and hopefully they've got chances as well.
And
And on Saturday, Brian, in the Bet365 Gold Cup, of course, us racing people know it as the Whitbread. Band of Blood will be your mount on Saturday. It's been, you know, it's been running fairly decent throughout the winter, and you're riding for the first time on Saturday.
Yeah, I've never ridden the horse, Bobby, but I mean, he's won a couple of chases for Sam Preston Davis. Won at Doncaster the last day he won. I mean, obviously he gets in there with a lightweight, and I've had a few winners for Dr. Newland this year, so I mean, and his yard seems to be going well, so I mean, obviously I'm hopeful of a big run, but I mean, there's some decent horses in the race, so just wait and see. He's got a lightweight, so hopefully that stands him in good stead.
Well, absolutely brilliant. Brian, thank you very much for your time here on the show. Best of luck with your ride tomorrow, and also on Saturday at Sandown as well.
No problem, Bobby. Good to talk to you and Jim.
All the best, Brian. Thank you.
All the best. Thank you, Brian. Brian Hughes talking to us there. He's a nice guy, Brian, isn't he? But we just got a horse which he's going to be riding on tomorrow, is that correct?
Birchvale was he said the filly in the first. That's, yeah. Birchvale, yeah. He thought that was his best chance.
He mentioned that, didn't he? He said Birch. So Birchvale, the name of the horse which he'll be riding tomorrow. Right then, I hope you are enjoying the show. If you have just tuned in, this is the Bobby Beavers Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. I suppose just before we move on to the flat action, just going off the back of what Brian's saying, I think it shows, you know, how tough and competitive, you know, the jump scene is in particular, because it goes for a full year, April to April, which we are perfectly aware of. And he's saying, literally, I'm trying my all, I'm trying my best, I'm giving it my all, and yet he's still 30 winners behind Dickie Johnson.
Well, if you're successful in racing, it's a really tough examination, not just of your riding, of your character and your temperament. Because, some of the lads who hit the top, they've have to earn the right to do that. Mm-hmm. They have drivers and things like that. Not everybody does. But the miles you have to do, you're wasting. Most of the jockeys are watching their weight to some extent. You're dealing with the inevitable falls that come with being a jump jockey. And all the frustrations that go with it. And you're riding out. And you've probably got a family. So it's a very, very busy life. And to remain at the top, you have to put a lot of hard work in. And he's a guy that has worked his way up, mm-hmm. earned the right to be where he is now. That'd be fantastic next season if he could become the first northern based jump jockey since John Joe O'Neill in 1980 to win the title. As he said, it's a big ask, because Richard is a wonderful ambassador, a wonderful rider, and has got loads of support, but there's a chance he could do it.
Yeah, very much agree. It'd be fantastic as well for Brian to be crowned champion jockey. Right then, we've spoke about the jumps racing for the first, nearly 25 minutes of the show. We're going to look ahead to the flat action next, and we're going to be joined by Colbert. Don't go anywhere.
This is Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup on Proper Sport. This is Proper Sport.
A brand new sports station for the digital age. You can listen to us in a few different ways. Via our website, www.propersport.uk. Download the Proper Sport app from either Google Play or the Apple App Store. Or you can listen to us via the TuneIn app. And if you've invested in an Amazon Alexa or Google Home, stream Proper Sport now.
Live, online, via the apps and on demand, this is Proper Sport.
Every Wednesday evening, 6 till 8 p.m, you can join Ollie Holmes and Jai Hitchcock for the 6 till 8 debate, discussing anything and everything in the world of rugby league and beyond. And sometimes they bring the breaking news that you need to know.
3-year-old boy goes missing at Central Western Australia campsite, right? He's found 5 kilometres away the following day. He says, I found a kangaroo and I tried to ride it home. I'm not kidding, look this up. James Skillen disappeared from a campsite on a private property in Razorback, north of Bathurst. A search was launched at 7 p.m. 100-acre property is found 5 kilometres away.
He's trying to ride a kangaroo.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where he's trying to ride the kangaroo, but that came out wrong.
All the big stories discussed on the 6 till 8 debate every Wednesday, 6 till 8 on Proper Sport, on Facebook Live, on the podcast, and of course on the website at propersport.uk.
The greatest radio duo since, well, no one. Ollie and Jai on the 6 till 8 debate. This is Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup on Proper Sport.
Welcome back to the Bobby Beaver's Racing Roundup alongside Jim McGrath. Well, it's been a great show so far. We've been speaking to Donald McCain and also Brian Hughes as well. And we're now going to go straight back to the phone because we're going to turn our attention now from jumps racing to flat racing. And we're now joined on the phone by one of the top trainers for the North. That is Carl Burke. Carl, a very good evening to you. How are you? Are you keeping well?
Yeah, good, thank you, and good evening, Bobby and Jim.
Yeah. How are you? A very good evening to you there. Right then, we're going to talk to you about Lawrence, who's going to take her chance in this year's 1,000 guineas. We'll talk about her very shortly, but last season, Carl, you had the Queen of Speed with Quiet Reflection, but you also had four cracking two-year-olds last season also, so there's so much to look forward to with them in their three-year-old careers. In particular as well, I've noticed that the entries have come out, should I say, for the Royal Meet this year for Royal Ascot. Unfortunately, Havannah Grey, are they going to take the chance in the Commonwealth Cup?
We certainly hope that one of them will make it. I mean, we have yet to decide and see which way we're going with Havannah Grey. I mean, I think he looks and gives me the feel of a real speedball. So, I mean, he could, if he's good enough, he's entered in the King's Stand as well. But it's going to be tough for him early part of the season for, you know, the 3-year-old 5-furlong horses. There's very, very few, if any. I don't think there is any 3-year-old only 5-furlong group races. There's a Group 3 5.5 in the Prix Texanita at Maisons-Laffitte in France. But in this country, we lack one, which I think is really something that the powers that be should look at for a lead up to the Commonwealth Cup. One of those trial races, I think, should be a 5-furlong 3-year-old only race. Just... you know, that's my opinion anyway, but that's diversing a little bit.
No, it's important. It's important to get your views. You've got the horses, and it's frustrating if you can't find the races.
Well, I just think there's not a. The program's brilliant. Don't get me wrong. It was a great concept, the Commonwealth, and bringing in those trial races. But I just feel one of them should be a 5-furlong. 3-year-old only race rather than all sixes, you know.
Yeah, because I think there's a Pavilion Stakes at Ascot this week over six, isn't there? And then there's the Grade 2 at Haydock, which leads on for horses that want to go Standard six. Yes, yeah. I see what you mean.
And the list, and the listed races, there's a couple of listed races, but they're all six, you know. So I just think there is it could be tweaked a little bit to have one for those 5-furlong horses that may or may not go and be 6-furlong horses, you know.
Yeah. Well, it was you had a fantastic run the last two or three years, Carl. I mean, I remember being watching Lawrence win the Group 1 at Newmarket, and what struck me was what a magnificent stamp of filly she is.
She's a fantastic model, yeah. You're dead right there, Jim. And I don't think you could get a better shape and size of her a racehorse, really. But she's got the ability and the power to go with it.
And we've not seen her since that win last October in the Group 1 Fillies Mile. Has the plan always to be to go straight for the Guineas, Carl?
It has, really, yeah. We sat down with John Dance around Christmas time and we were having a chat about why we go. And the main reason was that, A, she is a very clean-winded filly. You know, we found that out last year. But the main reason was, there's a long season ahead for her, and especially if she's stepping up in trip later in the year, you know, she could end up a mile and a half horse, and we just didn't want to have the gun to her head those two or three weeks extra early to have taken a trial, and we've just sort of purposely brought her along at our own pace. And don't get me wrong, we want to win the Guineas, of course, but if we do happen to go there and get beat, it's not the be-all and end-all of her season. So for that reason, we said we didn't want to, you know, run the miles up early on her. and go for a trial, which would have to obviously be a you know, she's a Group 1 winner, would have to go for a Group 3 or, you know, whatever, or listed, and it just made sense not to go. And while we, as I say, we want to win the Guineas, it's very much a starting point for the season for her.
You mentioned there, interesting, Carl, you said a mile and a half for her potentially as well. Does that mean that a certain Oaks may be on the radar as well?
Not an English one, because we didn't enter, and again, we did that deliberately.
Great stuff.
Carl, I just wondered, I mean, I was trying to tell Bobby earlier, but he's not old enough to appreciate it, that since Bill Watts won the Cheveley Park Stakes in 1971 with Waterloo, and he trained up at Richmond, you know, he's a brilliant filly, right, okay. There's been a few colts. You had one last year that won the, obviously, the pre-Morney. A few trainers have had a decent colt trained in the north, but to win a Group 1 two-year-old's race with a filly seems to have been exceptionally hard. And since then, there's only been Goodbye Shelley in 1982, who won the Marcel Boussac. There's been Mark Johnson with Lumiere in 2015, who won the Cheveley Park.
Yeah.
And then last year there was you.
Right, I didn't realise that.
I mean, it is amazing. A rarity.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an amazing stat. You know, I didn't understand that, so I didn't realise that at all.
Yeah.
No, she's a fantastic filly, and as we say, she's a great physique about her, a great mind, and... You know, while we are looking at the pre-Diane as far as Oaks goes, you know, I think Siouni is a massive influence of speed in a pedigree, and I think it's a fantastic sire. And while she's got a hell of a stride and a hell of a cruising speed, she's a long way from being a slow filly. So we'll see. You know, as I say, we'll learn a lot again on a week on Sunday, and you know, if we're wrong and she's not good enough for a Group 1 mile as a three-year-old, then we'll take it on the chin, but I'll be surprised.
Well, you're flying the flag for the north, because there's 20 fillies left and she's the only one trained in the north. So good luck.
And Carl, if you just have a look ahead to Saturday as well, you've got 11 runners across the car. Chris, have a bit of a word on a few of them. I've noticed Majak's running at Haydock, who won at the Craven meeting last week.
He did, yeah. He's a very good horse, and he's an improving horse as well. You know, he strengthened unbelievably through the winter. He went back to Mark and Ashlyn's, the Gittins' farm in Ireland, and did really well, came back in great nick. Loves soft ground. It's a little bit quicker than ideal going back, but we have to go with the ground, really, and it's a nice prize. It's a £45,000 race. He's got a great draw.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether Tom Dascombe's horse goes on the soft as well as we do. Personally, I'll be very disappointed if he doesn't go very close again, as I'm sure he will.
And of the rest of the runners that day as well, Carl, anything else we should be particularly looking out for?
I was literally just doing the list there when you rang, and for tomorrow, and just looking through the runners. Maid of Honour is a progressive filly. She's very progressive on the all-weather. I think she's unbeaten on the Polytrack actually this winter. She goes on the turf at Doncaster, and she ran a very good debut there. She should run well. Copper Bait won at Wolverhampton. She goes to Haydock as well. Fit. She'll love the heavy ground. She won on heavy ground in France. She's still probably well handicapped. Run a very nice two-year-old first time at Leicester, but as we all know, two-year-olds first day at school. We never put the gun to the heads at home. But he is a nice horse, and expect him to run well. You know, there's a few others there with chances. Unwritten, love the ground, but that looks a tough race. Although there's only four runners, there's a horse that won. He ran in the Pontefract listed race, and the horse that won that, was placed in that of John Quinn's, which finished a fair way in front of Unwritten. He's in the Haydock race as well, so I imagine he'd be hard to beat.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, Carl, thank you very much for your time this evening. Of course, wish you all the best of luck with your runners over the next couple of days, being particularly Lauren's in the 1,000 guineas in a few weeks' time.
Appreciate it, Bobby. Thank you.
Thanks, Carl. All the best.
Thanks, Carl. Great to have Carl Burke on the show. And how fantastic would it be, you know, on the 6th of May, I believe it is Sunday the 6th of May, if Lawrence was to win the 1,000 guineas for him?
It's a very open renewal this year in terms of form. There's not a lot between the fillies at the head of the market. Mm. Obviously, Aidan O'Brien, I mean, I think he's something like 23 entries. That's been whittled down to 6.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that a trainer's got 6 chances, you'd have to fear his string. But Lawrence, a good filly last year, and you'd think she can only be better this time, the size of her. So good luck to him.
Yeah, very much agree. Best luck to Carl Burke and connections with Lawrence that will take her chance in the 1,000 guineas on Sunday, the 6th of May. Right then, Jim, we're going to talk about the weekend's action. We're going to briefly have a look at what's coming up, particularly at Ripon Stage, a card on Saturday afternoon. An interesting race there, a 2-mile handicap. It's a download, the award-winning At The Races app handicap, which has been seen as a bit of a stepping stone in recent years towards the Chester Cup. Trip to Paris won it in 2015 and then went on to win the Chester Cup, and also went on to win the Ascot Gold Cup as well. Nine horses will go to post for this particular race on Saturday, Jim, and two of the nine have won this in the past.
Yeah, they have. We've got Massal, and we've got Tim Easterby's runner,
My Reward,
who was also second the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got Moonrise Landing, is it, of Rafe Beckett's,
yep.
Who's also in the Ascot Gold Cup this year. Mm-hmm. I think this is a really open race, and I think the point about punting on Saturday, Bobby, mm-hmm. is that we have got, you know, the ground at Ripon today was 7.0. What does that equate to? According to, you know, James Hutchinson, the ground is good to soft, mm-hmm. but we've got a very wet day forecast everywhere tomorrow, so I think you've got to be careful. I've done my selections for this show on the basis that it will be soft ground, so I'll swerve that race you mentioned. But at Ripon, I do. Mobster is a fairly horse with a fairly obvious chance. I think he's got a good draw. He's in winning form. He hasn't been raised harshly for scoring quite handily at Windsor the other day, and I think he must go well again because it can't be too soft for him. And Brandon Castle won up at Musselburgh on their opening meeting of the season, trained by Archie Watson, who's made up into a really smart trainer. His percentages are good. You have to respect his runners wherever they are. He's already had a good all-weather campaign this winter. He's not a certainty, but everything is right for him to go well. And then a couple away from there, Doncaster in the 7:15, Huey Morrison runs a Camelot horse called Candidate, who's got bits and pieces of form, runs in his first handicap, should run well. Carl has told you about My Jack, agree with everything he says. Again, not a certainty, but a horse for whom everything is right and has got a good draw. And then finally at Leicester, again a horse that's been well flagged up, but conditions are right for him, it can't be too soft for him, and that's a lightly raced horse of Roger Varian's called Emmaus, who's won 2 out of 3. He runs in the 2:45 there. The main danger to him is Don Juan Triumphant of Andrew Balding's, for the fact that A, he goes very well on soft ground, and B, he's running at Leicester and he's owned by the owner of Leicester Football Club. So I think there's probably a little bit of a link along the way there. Of those five, which are the best two? I'd say Brandon Castle and My Jack.
That's brilliant. Well, Jim, thank you very much for your contribution this week, and also your tips as well. Right, and that's the end of this week's show. I'd like to thank our guests as always. So thank you to Donna McCain, Brian Hughes and Carl Burke. Do join us at same time next Thursday as well, as we'll be looking ahead to the first two classics of the new season, with the 2,000 guineas and the 1,000 guineas as well. From myself and from Jim, it's goodbye for now.